Welcome to Marriage University. My name is Tina Heisman. I am a certified master life coach specializing in marriage. The topic for today's podcast is, are expectations killing the intimacy in your marriage? Before we get started, I want to let you know I have a free, private, Happy Wives community on Facebook where you can come to get inspiration for your marriage. Just search The Happy Wives Community in the Facebook search bar, or head on over to my website, tinaheisman.com, and click on the banner at the bottom of the front page. Also on my website, I have created a free download called the Marriage Makeover Guide. It's a guide to help you make over your marriage into a happier, more joyful, peaceful place. I like to refer to it as a solution tool that you can use to solve problems in your marriage. So just visit my website to download it. Okay, let's dive in and talk about, are expectations killing the intimacy in your marriage? One of the greatest thieves of intimacy in marriage is unmet expectations. So I'm going to start by telling you a story from a time when my children were little. I'm guessing maybe Alyssa was one-ish and Tyler was four-ish. So I had joined a bunco group in my neighborhood, and I loved it. We met once a month at someone's house and played bunco and relaxed and talked and had fun, and I just loved it. And so, of course, on a mom's night out, I would need my husband to take care of the kids for me so that I could go and have fun. And so this one night, this is not a story I'm proud of, by the way. This one night when I came home, it was probably somewhere between 11 and midnight. I walked into the house, and it was, in my definition, a mess. I can remember the family room was just completely messy with toys everywhere. The anger I felt when I saw that was immediate and volatile, and it wiped away every good feeling I had from actually having a night out. So at the moment, my husband was nowhere to be seen, but I'm thinking he was somewhere in the back of the house in his office. And so I just threw down my purse or whatever I was holding, and I started picking up the toys one by one and like slamming them into the toy box, not placing them quietly because it's late at night and kids are sleeping, but slamming them. This is pretty unlike me, especially to be, you know, really rough with our belongings. But I was so angry that apparently I just let that go to the wayside. And so Paul came out of his office, and now he was angry too because he heard all this noise and the kids were sleeping. And he said, "What are you doing?" And I'm not exactly sure exactly what I said, but probably it's just something about picking up the toys. And it was probably in a huffy tone and probably like, darts were coming out of my eyes at him because I was so mad. Or maybe I didn't even look at him because I was so mad. And of course he said, "You're going to wake up the kids." And at this point, I don't think any words came out of my mouth. Just more slamming of the toys into the toy box. I was so mad. And of course, this reaction from me, this crazy emotional reaction, caused Paul to be angry too. And he was like, "You know, you get a night out, and then you come home and this is how you react?" And I was like, in my mind, like, whoa, that was the wrong thing to say. So I replied to him, "It's not a night out for me if I have to come home and clean up this mess. You should have done it. Having to come home and clean up this mess like negates every good thing that happened to me tonight." I was so angry, you guys. I can feel that anger in me right now as I tell you this story. I just felt so disrespected and unloved and like he didn't care about me. And so this is where the problem comes in. The problem is not necessarily the messy family room floor. The problem is my feelings. I tied my feelings to the expectation that my husband would clean up the house before I got home. Those are two separate things, whether or not your husband would clean up the house before you get home and your feelings about it. And that's what we want to focus on today. Because I expected that the house would be clean when I came home. And when it was not clean when I came home, I got angry and felt sorry for myself. And what I have learned since that time is that when we tie our emotions to what we expect another person to do or say or be, we are asking for trouble. We're asking for those volatile moments. Before we go on, I want to share with you something scriptural. James 4:1 through 2 says, "What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, but don't get it." Whoa. I wanted a clean house when I came home that night, but I did not get it. I thought my expectation was reasonable. I wanted the toys picked up at the end of the night, and we normally did that every night when I was at home at night. I expected it would be the same if I was not at home. See, I just expected it. And who knows if there was even a conversation about it? Probably not. I probably didn't ask him to do it or tell him that I would like it, but I expected it because that's what I did every night when I was home. So a cleaned up living room was important to me, but it wasn't important to my husband. He did not care about the toys all over the living room. They were not a problem to him. So this doesn't make one of us right or wrong for what our preference is about the state of a living room. But the thing is, since I'm the one that cares about the cleaned up living room, then I'm really the one that needs to take responsibility for it, right? So I have two choices here. I can clean up the living room or I can leave it messy. Either way, it's not a problem. But the problem is when I tied my emotions to the messy living room. When I got angry and took his lack of cleaning up the toys to mean more than it did. Do you see how I did that earlier? I told you, when I saw the messy living room, I thought things to myself like, he doesn't love me, he doesn't care about me. If he loved me, he would have cleaned up the living room. So when you look at it like that, I hope you can see where I'm coming from here. Because tying our emotions to how we expect other people to act is risky business. And here's what I would like to teach you about expectations that I hope will help alleviate suffering in your life. I want to warn you, not everyone is going to be willing to hear what I have to say. But I believe that each one of us is responsible for meeting our own needs, that no one else on this planet is responsible for meeting our needs as an adult, right? So let me explain. So first of all, when we expect someone else to meet our needs, we are in essence forcing them to do or be something that we want them to be. We're trying to change them and control their behavior. So I was trying to change my husband into caring about the living room and cleaning it up with a volatile emotional reaction like that. So I could ask myself, and we could all ask ourselves if we have been in any similar scenarios, would I want my husband attempting to control my behavior? And probably the answer is no. Like if I think about that scenario flip-flopped, well, how crazy that must have looked from his perspective. I mean, he probably thought he did a really good thing for me that night by staying home and taking care of the kids. He probably played with them and had a nice night with them and everything else. And I come home and I'm in a tirade because the house is not clean. You know, I can see from his perspective that he didn't care so much about the messy toys. And he probably was feeling so good for doing something nice for me that night. And so we need to look at these situations and ask ourselves, would I want my spouse trying to control my behavior? And that helps me remember when I'm stepping out of line or tying my emotions to my behaviors. And here's the second reason that I think that we're all responsible for meeting our own needs. And it's a big one. If we rely on another person to meet our needs, that means that we are giving them the power over our emotions. Essentially, we're saying, so if my husband does something that makes me happy, I will feel happy. Or if my husband does something that makes me feel sad, I will feel sad. So that night, I allowed my husband's behavior, or lack thereof, to dictate my emotions. What I'm saying is I allowed him, his behavior, to ruin a perfectly good night, in essence, to put me in a terrible mood, to make me so angry that I would slam toys. I personally do not want to give my power away like that. I don't want to have to rely on my husband to do things that make me happy. I will work on making me happy, because really that's putting too much pressure on him and it's giving too much power to him. And I don't mean that in like a how that might sound. I just mean like giving your power away of controlling your own emotions. So, you know, I'm here to tell you, I'm still working on this. I don't have those kinds of outbreaks, but I do, you know, I do let anger get me based on his behavior at times. But this approach does not lead to happiness in marriage. What does lead to happiness in marriage is letting go of expecting our husbands to behave a certain way. When we let go of expecting our husband to behave a certain way, it feels like freedom. It is such relief. I'm imagining a string connected between myself and my husband, just a string. The string represents the tie of my emotions to his behavior. So we're attached with that. But when I let go of my expectations, I cut the string with a pair of scissors, and we are both free. We are both free to be ourselves. And it feels so much better than worrying over whether or not he will do something that makes me feel happy. I hope that makes sense. It's kind of a, you know, it can be a tough concept to grasp. And it's something, like I said, I'm still practicing this in my life. And I want you to know, this does not mean that we cannot ask our husband to pick up the toys on a girl's night out, or take out the trash on a regular basis, or whatever we want to ask of him. We can ask him all of those things. Even if I would have asked him that night, will you please make sure the toys are cleaned up when I come home so that I can come home relaxed? Even if I would have asked him that and he didn't do it, I should still not have applied my emotions to it and let it enrage me like that and let it mean so much more than what it meant. And even before giving him a chance to explain, you know? So we don't want to tie our emotions to what our husband does or does not do, because then that leaves us powerless and it can really leave us feeling with a lot of sadness in our life and stress and anxiety that we don't need. And what I would say is, if you're struggling with this, instead of getting angry at your husband, try to ask him about why he's not doing what you're asking of him. Maybe you have something that you're asking him constantly to do and he's not doing it. And you know, you're probably going about it in the best way that you know how of trying to convince him to do it. But what would happen if you asked him why he is not doing it? And not from a confrontational standpoint, but from the spirit of understanding him and who he is and what's important to him, and honoring him and respect him for being different from you. And I can tell you girls, you know, those days of those kinds of tirades by me, even though they were far and few between, are over for me. And my husband helps out far more now than he ever did. And I don't have to lose my temper or tie my emotions to his behavior. Going this route brings much more peace. And I have also found that, you know, sometimes I'm like, wow, why is he helping me right now? Like, he does so much now to help. It's on a daily basis. And I don't have to get mad or angry or tie my emotions to what he does or does not do. And if I catch myself starting to feel that way, then I just remind myself of this. remind myself of this truth. Because the reason is, if we want to be truly happy in life and peaceful, we have to let go of our expectations for how we think our husband should act and other people, right? We don't want to let our happiness be dependent on anyone else's behavior. So I know this is kind of a big concept to grasp, but I hope my story illustrated it for you, what I mean. I probably have more examples of that, but that was kind of the biggest one that I thought about. And I know that working on this is easier said than done. So if this is resonating with you, maybe start practicing with it on some smaller expectations that you have of your husband instead of working on the big ones. You know, you could take a few minutes and write down, like, what are some expectations I have of my husband? Well, I expect him to go to work for our family. I expect him to take out the trash. I expect him to keep the maintenance up on my car. I expect him to help with the kids when he gets home from work. I think you'll be amazed if you take a minute and write all these expectations down and look at it. It will really open up your eyes. And then you can kind of start practicing letting go of the emotional ties to these expectations and see how much more peace that it brings you, and it will make your husband happier too. So if you would like to work on this with a coach, reach out to me. I have some great tools to help you along in your journey, and I would love to work with you. Thank you so much for listening in today. Please let me know if you have any specific questions. And remember, I have that free marriage makeover guide on my website to help you fix challenges in your marriage. Just head over to my website, tinaheisman.com, to download your copy for free. And don't forget to join us in the Happy Wives community on Facebook. And of course, I offer one-on-one marriage coaching, so stop by my website or email me to learn more. Thank you. I will see you next week.